Well, we're wrapping our series up. I'm still standing, and I hope we've all come to understand that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called by God to be different, to stand out. We're not called to be weird, but to stand out. And not only are we called to stand out, but we're called to stand up. We're called to stand up for what is right, what is God-honoring. And if we stand in the right way, at the right time, for the right reasons, I believe it has tremendous influence on those around us. And we talked about standing strong in our faith, standing strong when we face trials and temptations, when we face the opposition, that we're to stand strong when we face the cultural pressures in this world. And that in kneeling in prayer before God, it gives us the strength to stand strong in those times. And so last week we talked about standing strong in faith, that we're able to stand strong in faith when we understand that God cares and that God heard our prayer. The very first time we prayed, God heard that prayer and was listening. And that just because we can't see that things are changing in that situation that we're praying for, does not mean that God's not doing something. And so we're to keep praying, we're to keep believing, and we're to keep trusting, because the bottom line is God is not finished. God is not finished with that situation and with you. And today I want to wrap up by talking about standing strong and standing firm when you're in the fire. You know, the song that they did just a moment ago, it says, "Even when I walk through the fire, I won't be burned. I set my feet upon your word, upon God's word. I know your love will never fail." And then I love the line, because it says, "This I know now. Deep down, I know that." And I wonder, do you know that in your life? Because here's what I know. I know that some of you are going through an extremely difficult time in your life. The fact is, some of you feel like you're in the fire right now. And the reality is that you are either coming out of a difficult time, or you're in the middle of a very difficult time, or you're heading toward a difficult time in your life. And it just, it moves all the time as to where we're at. And I know that many Christians believe that we should never face difficulties, but I want to undo that today and get you to think a little bit different. Jesus said this in John 16, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have what? Trouble and suffering. But take courage, I've conquered the world. You know, in Jesus Christ we have peace. And I know today some of you are going through what I would call financial fires in your life. Some of you, it may be that you're in a health-related fire, or in a relational fire. And the fact is, some of you are doing everything you can think of and everything you can do, and the fact is the situation's not getting better. Reality is maybe it's getting worse. I mean, for some of you, that fire may be smoldering. And for some of you, it may be a consuming fire. And so the question is, what do you do? What do you do when you're in the midst of the fire? And before we jump into the story that we're going to look at today, I want to look at a passage of Scripture. It's a passage you might want to memorize, you might want to put on your refrigerator, but I believe that this passage will give you some insight and give you some handles with which to live by. 1 Peter says this, "These trials will show that your faith is genuine, is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." Whatever trial you are facing, that trial will reveal the genuineness of your faith. That trial will burn off all the fluff, so to speak, and begin to show you the real faith that you have. It reveals what you really believe when you're going through the trials and through the fires of life. And kind of a key thought for the morning is a faith that's tested is a faith that can be trusted. Now, I want to look at three teenage boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're friends of Daniel, and we're going to back up in our timeline, all right? So we're going back to the early captivity when they were first brought back to Babylon. You remember in our story here, Daniel is not in this story. He's a teenager, though, okay? We know that, but we don't know why Daniel's not in the story. We don't know where Daniel's at, but he's absent from the story, okay? Nebuchadnezzar's the king. Nebuchadnezzar, you remember, was the one that conquered Jerusalem. He brought these young boys back to Babylon. He's indoctrinating them. They're prisoners of war, and he's basically going to teach them the ways of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was egotistical. Nebuchadnezzar has a giant golden statue built, 90 foot tall, of another pagan god. The Babylonian culture is polytheistic, which means they worshipped many, many, many gods. And so the fact that he's created another god isn't really a big deal in the culture. What happens is that many scholars believe that the statue was made in the image of Nebuchadnezzar. Don't know that for a fact, but that's what they believe. And so Nebuchadnezzar sends out an invitation to all the government officials, to the governors, the advisors, the trustees, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates. He invites everybody to this dedication. And it's at the dedication that not only do they dedicate the statue, but he introduces a new law. And he has it announced to the people. It says, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and all the other musical instruments, bow down to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's golden statue. When the band plays, everybody's to bow down. They're to bow down. They're to worship this golden statue, this giant statue of probably King Nebuchadnezzar. And just in case somebody thought, oh, is it an option? You know, can I do it if I want and if I don't want? He says, anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Now that's motivation, isn't it? If you read the whole story, everybody is bowed low as they can go. They want to make sure that the king sees that they're bowing and worshiping. Everybody except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three young men are still standing. They refuse to bow down. They're standing firm in their faith. And I was thinking about it, that day for them, it started out like an ordinary day. Everything's going fine. These three young men, they go to this public gathering. And in a moment, a perfectly good day goes south. You ever have that happen? They find themselves in a trial. They ultimately find themselves in the fire. And I think this story, as you begin to look at it, gives us an example of how to face the fire, how to stand firm when the trials come, because they come into your life. And here's the first thing I want you to understand. If you're going to stand firm in your faith, it requires obedience to God. It requires obedience to God instead of following people. Instead of going with the culture, it requires obedience to God. Everybody's bowing down. These three young men are still standing, the king goes ballistic. I mean, he has them brought to him immediately. And he asks them some questions. And then for whatever reason, he gives them another chance. Don't know why, but he did. He says, I'll give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I've made. When you hear the sound of the musical instruments, you know, and I'm imagining he had them play at that point. But if you refuse, you'll be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? Nebuchadnezzar asks a rhetorical question there. Nebuchadnezzar asks, you know, what God will be able to help you at this point? And he is not looking for information. He is not looking for them to really answer him. He basically is reminding them they do not have a choice. That they do not stand a chance if they do not bow down. And these three young men treat it like it's not a rhetorical question. In fact, they basically go to him and say, you know what, we have faith in a big, big God. And a God that oversees the affairs of this world. A God that holds the sun and the moon and the planets in place. And our God, we have an option. I mean, they're standing firm. And I love their response to him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. That's a cocky answer, isn't it? They're standing firm. They're facing down the king. And they're facing imminent death in that moment. And I imagine that in that moment, it would have been really easy to have rationalized and compromised their faith at this point. I mean, it would have been easy for them to have taken a different step. I mean, think about it. Everybody's bowing down. Everybody's bowing down. I imagine there were people that were whispering, just bow down. Physically bow down. Strike a pose. You know, pretend you're worshiping that ridiculous statue. Just do it. But in your heart, you'll know you're standing. In your heart, you know what you really believe. God will understand, so just bow and fake it. I think they could have also reasoned, I'll bow down and worship the idol today. Sure, I know it's wrong, but I'll ask God for forgiveness. Sound familiar? I mean, we've all done that, haven't we? Or maybe they could have gotten real pragmatic at a point. You know, if I don't bow down, I'm dead. And if I'm dead, who's going to tell other people about the one true God? So I'll compromise just this once. It's not a big deal. I'll just pretend. They could have done any of those things. But they don't. They predetermined what they would do, what was first and foremost in their life above everything else. They believed in God and they were going to follow God. We will honor God. We will obey God. We will not do what everybody else is doing. And they took a stand. They stand firm. They deflect the king's questioning. We're not answering your questions. We don't need to defend ourselves to you. This is not about you and us. It's about God and us. Now, it's interesting, they don't have to pray about what they're going to do. They don't have to think about what they're going to do. They don't post their situation on Facebook and ask everybody's consensus on what they should do. No, they predetermined They decided ahead of time that the most important thing was obedience to God, period. We will be obedient to God no matter what. Friends, when obedience to God is first and foremost in your life, most, not all, but most decisions become very clear. What happens is when obedience to God becomes a question, will I, won't I, not sure, decisions become very, very murky in life. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I guarantee you at some point in your walk, you will be trying, if you're really trying to follow God, that Satan, you know, your spiritual enemy, will attempt to get you to compromise in an area of your life, try and get you to disobey God at some point in your life. And you have to decide ahead of time, not in that moment, you decide ahead of time, you're not going there. You just have to. That's how you stand firm, you know, in obedience, remembering it's audience of one that we live for. You know, will you be obedient to God no matter what? Or will you compromise? See, it's a decision that we all face. You face it at work. You face it at school. You face it in your relationships. You face it in business. The fact, will I be obedient? And obedience may cost you. It may cost you a deal. It may cost you a job. It may cost you a relationship. It may cost you a friend. The fact is, obedience, people may look and think you're crazy because of your faith, because you're obeying God. But friends, we obey God. We don't follow culture. We don't make decisions based on consensus. We do not go with the majority. We go with God and God alone. And sometimes you just have to clear that up. See, standing in faith means obedience to God in spite of what you see going on in life. You know, Scripture goes on, it says, these are the young men, they're talking to the king. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is what? Able to save us. He's able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. Friends, no matter what you see in life, you got to believe that God can rescue you. No matter what I see, I believe God is able. You know, standing firm, it's believing not only is God able. See, I believe if we ask right now, most of you would go, oh yeah, I believe God's able. But you got to believe that God is able to rescue you. See, we own it. You know, some of you, maybe you left the doctor. You got a diagnosis that's a little devastating. What do you do? You trust God. You stand firm in faith, and you're praying and believing that God is able to heal you. What God does? Well, that's up to God. You know, maybe you're spinning out financially in your life. You know, the resources are drained. I mean, what do you do in that moment? I mean, maybe you sell or cancel some things. Maybe you get a second job. But friends, when you've done all that you can do, then you believe with everything in you that God is more than able to provide in your life. I mean, maybe your relationship's falling apart. Well, then you follow in obedience and you're God honoring with your actions. You do everything you can do. And then you believe God is able and that God can restore that relationship. Friends, when you're in the fire And when the heat is on, I believe it's really easy to doubt. You know, it's easy to let that situation define you. It's easy to let fear and anxiety and worry kind of overwhelm you at some point. But friends, God is more than able to deal with whatever it is that you're dealing with today. You know, Paul writes this, glory belongs to God, whose power is at work in us by the power he can do infinitely, infinitely more than we ask or imagine. Our God is for us. Our God is with us. Our God stands with us. Our faith is that we continue to believe no matter what we see, no matter what's going on, we keep believing. And friends, whatever it is that's on your heart, and I know some of you bring a lot of stuff today, you got to believe that God's able. God's able. And I want to be clear. The fact is, sometimes God moves in ways that it's not the way you do it. It's not the way you want. In fact, I've had God move in ways that I did not expect. You know, sometimes God will move in different ways than you would take. But that's why God's God and you're not. Have you figured that out, that you're not God? See, God's ways are higher. Way, way higher. His thoughts are way bigger than your thoughts or my thoughts. And it leads to that really difficult question. I mean, what if God doesn't do what I'm believing he'll do? What if God doesn't do, and I'm believing that God's gonna heal someone, but they die? I mean, what if I'm believing that God will bring my child to faith, but when I look, everything that I see looks as though they're moving further from faith? Friends, you got to stand strong in your faith. You got to stand strong and be obedient to God. That's our responsibility, being obedient. And then we got to trust God with the results. And I will tell you, that's a hard thing to do. You know, living faithfully and trusting. You know, standing firm in our faith is what God has called us as Christians to do. Standing firm in our faith is the life that we are called to live on a daily basis. Standing strong in faith, that's our responsibility. But that's where our job ends and God's begins. You know, our job is to be obedient and to be faithful in the good times. That's easy to do, isn't it, when it's good? And the bad times. And what God does, well, that's up to God. These three young men, they are eye to eye with King Nebuchadnezzar. The guy's crazy. Everybody knows him. He's egotistical. We believe our God is able. We believe our God will rescue us. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, Your Majesty, that we will never, ever, 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 ever serve your God or worship that golden statue that you've set up. We will do what is right before God. We will be obedient. We will trust God with the outcome on this one. And I know it's really easy when you read the story to go, oh yeah, well of course you stand strong. Stand firm in your faith. That's because we know the story. We know the outcome. We know, how many of you know they get rescued? Yeah. I mean, so it's like, it's easy. I mean, thousands and thousands of years removed from the story, we go, well, of course. These young men are facing execution. A blazing furnace. Death by fire. Now, I will tell you, if you can choose how you're going to be executed, fire is not the choice. Fiery furnace, not going there. They do not know what God's going to do. But yet they face this trial, they face the fire, and they are unwavering in their faith because they know their God. And they believe in their God's power, and they trust God, and they're still standing in faith in this very tenuous situation. They're very firm. And the king's enraged at this point. I mean, the king flips out. And he orders the furnace turned up 7 times hotter than normal. He orders the soldiers to tie up the offenders. And he orders them to throw them into the fire. Now I want you to picture that moment. Getting ready to throw them into the fire. And as they do that, the men that are throwing them in the fire, Scripture says they drop dead. It was so hot that they got near the furnace and it kills them instantly. They're not in the furnace. They're near the furnace and they die. That's how hot it was. I imagine everybody that was watching just assume the boys are dead, consumed by fire. Now I want you to notice this in the story. God did not deliver them from the fire. They didn't get to avoid the fire. God rescued them in the fire. And that's significant. Says, but suddenly Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the furnace? Yes, your majesty, we certainly did, they replied. Look, I see 4 men bound, walking around in the fire, unharmed, and the 4th looks like a god. What a moment. I mean, most scholars believe that the 4th person was Jesus Christ. You know, it was the pre-incarnate Christ. We talked about it last week. If you weren't here, you'll have to check out last week. I kind of explained that. But Jesus is in the fire. Some of you are in a fire today. Some of you are struggling, and the problems are overwhelming you. I mean, some of you are not sure you're going to make it. Some of you are worn out. Some of you are tired and exhausted. And I want you to listen to me here. God is more than able to deal with your situation. You know, God is more than able to rescue you. You've got to keep believing and keep trusting and keep being obedient. Continue to trust Him and to stand firm in your faith. It's in the fire that you experience Jesus Christ in a real and personal way. Some of you just need to hear that. God is with you. Jesus Christ is with you in the fire. We threw 3 men in the fire. Now there's a 4th one. And they're unharmed and they're unburned and they're unbound. And don't miss this. You notice the 3 boys, they're not burned. Their clothing's not burned. But the fire consumed the ropes that had them bound. And they're gone. Now they're walking around in the fire. And you go, well, why is that significant? Here's the reason. Some of you are facing a fire in your life right now. Some of them are small fires. Some of them are big. Some of you, it may be a raging fire. And some of you are begging God to deliver you from that situation, that trial, that challenge. But can I suggest to you that maybe, the very thing you want God to remove is the very thing that God will use to set you free. You know, that thing that's causing you pain and hurt, that thing that you want to numb away, that you want to avoid, that thing that you want to go away is the very thing that God will use to free you and liberate you from whatever it is. See, you cannot minimize the presence of God when you're in the fire. You can't. And God will accomplish more than you can possibly begin to understand right now through the suffering, through the hurt, you know, through, not avoiding it, through the pain. See, God will work all those things together for good for those that love Him, to work Him for His purpose. You can stand in faith. You can stand in faith in the fire. Because why? Because God's with you. He's never going to leave you. Some of you just need to open your eyes and realize God's in the midst of that. You know, the furnace looked like the end. The furnace turned out to be the greatest experience in their life, probably. Why? Because that's where they encountered Jesus Christ. That's where they encountered God. Nebuchadnezzar, he looks in the fire. And he calls out to him. And I love the way Scripture put it, because he goes, "Servants of the Most High." Wow, there's an attitude adjustment. Hey, servants of the Most High. Come out. Come out. And I love this because they walk out. It says the high officers, the officials, the governors, advisors, I assume everybody got it, could just come crowding in around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their head was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. I love this line. They didn't even smell of smoke. Friends, when you stand in faith, when you stand in faith in the fire, God not only is present, but God's working. You know, God's burning off what binds you, what holds you back from really living. You know, burning off the impurities in the fire. You know how I know that? What He's done in my life. I mean, when you stand firm in faith, in the fire, you experience God in a real and personal way that you don't experience until you're in the fire. How many of you know that? Have experienced that? It says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar said, 'Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. He sent His angel to rescue His servants who what? Trusted Him. They defied the king's command and was willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own God.'" That's quite a mouthful there, isn't it? Friends, I believe this world, and it's broken, but I believe the world is watching. And they want to see if being a follower of Jesus Christ matters. You know, I believe the world is desperately watching you and me, especially when we're in the fires, because they want to see, is there anything that works when you're in the fire? And when they see you standing in faith, when they see you standing in the fire, and you're believing God and trusting God and being obedient to God, when God shows up, I mean, the world may be watching you, But they are ultimately, when they see God move, they will see God and they will glorify God because of what they see in your life. You know, God meets these three young men in the fire, and what I want you to know more than anything, and some of you, maybe it's the only reason you're here today, God will meet you in the fire. The fire, well, it looks frightening, looks dangerous, looks painful. Do you know why it looks that way? Because it is. It is frightening. And it is dangerous. And it is very painful. But it may be the place where you meet Jesus Christ face to face. And that's a game changer. See, the world looks at trials and problems and struggles, especially here in the United States. We look at those things as something to be avoided. But from an eternal perspective, it's where we're purified. See, it's in the fire. I would argue, in the fire, it's the safest place of all if you're with Jesus. Our God is able. Our God is able. And sometimes God delivers people from the fire, and sometimes God delivers in the fire. But make no mistake about it, our God is able. And I stand firm because I'm absolutely sure of that. I can't speak for you. I don't know about you. But here's the deal. Even if God does not rescue me, He has my full and complete devotion and obedience. I'll only worship Him. And I understand that a faith that's been tested, it's a faith you can trust. And a faith that's tested, it's more precious than gold. I look back on my life and those fires. I don't want to go through them again, trust me. But God was there, and God was present, and God delivered. And it is more precious than gold, because you live differently when you've been tried. When you've come out of the fire, you live differently. You know why? Because you know God's able. God's able. I'd ask you to stand with me. You know, God has called us to stand, to be different, stand strong, stand out. And I challenge you this morning. You know, are you still standing? Standing in faith. Let's bow in prayer. Our holy God. God, I know there are some today that, well, the fires are raging. God, I would pray that your Holy Spirit would just breathe strength into them. That they deep in their heart, they know you are able. You're able, and you're more than able to do whatever's needed. And God, you would just whisper that voice that would give them hope that they'd stand strong. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just move in this church, that God, we would stand out. Stand out in our neighborhoods, our schools, work, in our community. God, they would see you through us. God, help us to stand for the right stuff. Help us stand in the right way for the right reasons. God, help us when we lack the strength to stand. God, may we always be obedient to you. Bring glory to your name. We give you the glory, the praise this day and every day. And God's people said, amen. Let's worship together.